Praise the Lord. Look up Joel 3:14 for me. I've got a sermon here that the Lord gave me, and I just want to change one of the text scriptures because I just believe the Lord laid this on my heart. It's not going to be dynamic, but it's going to talk to you, I believe, because life is full of decisions, right? And I just feel like the Lord gave me this simply because someone's got to make a decision. And in that valley of what? Decisions. And so, you know, you walk out the decisions you make. You live out all those decisions, good or bad, you walk them out. The Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what you're sowing? Decisions. It's a life of decisions, what you decide to do. Stand with me, we'll read this together, and I'll let you be seated. Joel chapter 3:14 says, multitudes, read it with me, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Lord, I come before you tonight. I do ask for your guidance as we speak, Lord, your words. It's already anointed, but I need your anointing. Their ears need to be anointed, Lord, for it to accomplish what it set out to do. I ask you to be with us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to talk to you obviously about, here's the title, a decision that pays off. A decision that pays off. Now, I want to read you some text scriptures here. And the first one is found in 2 Kings 4 and 5. And this is a widow woman that finds herself without a husband. One of the sons of the prophets, her husband, is dead. And they are broke. They're broke. And is looking bad. You know, the last two things I would sell would be my kids. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. The last two things I would give up would be my kids. I'd sell everything I've got to keep my kids and my wife too. And better add that. Who gave me those good kids? So, but when you're finally at the end, you know, they would come and get your children to be slaves. And that was how they got repaid for the debt that you owed, was they'd get your children to be slaves. So this lays at that point. 2 Kings 4 and 5 says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her two sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. She took the vessels that he told her to do, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. I still got some here to pour out. And he said unto her, Mom, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Same amount as what she had. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. It's a decision that paid off. This is a decision that paid off in more ways than one. So I want to look at another. This is the same chapter, but it's two totally opposite situations. Reading down the 14th verse, it says, and he said, this is the Shunammite woman, what then is to be done for thee? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, no, not so, my lord. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaiden. And the woman conceived and bear a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. Another decision that paid off. Now, I'm going to go into depth. I want to do some comparisons here of these two ladies in just a minute. But I want to talk to you from the bottom of my heart about one of the worst feelings you'll ever have is that of debt. You immediately think about financial debt. Okay, I'm like, you know, dead broke. Bills are coming up, you know, I got kids to raise, I got this, and forget the college education, I'm just trying to get my milk, you know, I mean, so you can get so burdened with debt that you are stressed out in your spiritual life too, because it just bleeds, you know, one to the other. And so now you can't, you want to, but you can't seemingly support the church in the finances or in time or in, because you're working too, you're trying to get out of this debt. And I'm not belittling anybody that may be in that situation. But I wish we could take the same feeling of being in debt to pay the car off or the house off or the whatever, and let's turn that into a spiritual, to where we're debtors, Paul said, to all of those people out there. I mean, Paul said, I am a debtor to the barbarian, the guy that isn't so smart, to the Greek, the guy that's way up there, to all of them. He said, I become all things to all men that I might win some, pay off the debt. Because how many of you, God's been good to you? Oh, yeah. See, you're in debt. You're in debt. You're deep in debt. If we take that same feeling of I got to pay this off, I got to get this done, and we put that same intensity, and Lord, I got to win that guy. Lord, I'm telling you, I got to talk to this person about Christ. Christ has been so good to me, I've got to share it with him, because I'm in debt to that person. If you ever realize how great of debt you're in, you could not pay your sins off. Your works could never be good enough. It's only through Christ who paid them off, and without him, you couldn't do it. I'm in debt to him. And that's why he said little scriptures like, if you so much as give one of mine a cold cup of water, you shall in no wise lose your reward. You're in debt to these people. And if we ever get that same feeling of being in debt to win the loss that we are to pay our bills, Lord, we'd set this world on fire. I'm telling you, you talk about getting two or three jobs, we would be witnessing every place, no matter what line and what. We'd go to Walmart just to witness. Maybe I won't run into somebody. Get your little cart and put some toothpaste in it and just keep going around. Maybe I'll bump into somebody. I'm in debt. So it's a feeling that in this life that just kind of drains you of almost everything. It can become a burden on your marriage, a burden on relationship with your children. But the greatest feeling is when it's paid off. It's when it's finally... the last note, honey, when we pay the house off, we're going to go eat steak and it ain't going to be sirloin. We're getting ribeye tonight and ribs to go with it. Because you're just, the greatest feeling is to get out of debt. Oh, the greatest feeling, of course, is winning the lost, right? To feel like I'm reducing my debt. But as long as you owe that house note, you're paying on it. But if you don't pay the last one, you don't own it. They still own it, and they'll let you know. They'll come back and get it. And you and I have to be, we stay in debt all the way to the end. Paul finally got to the place where he said, one place he said early in his ministry, I am a debtor to thee, I'm dead. But he got to the end and said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. He was now ready to make the last payment before he entered into the crown, he said, of life. It was not just for me only, but all those who love his appearing. So I want to get out of the paying it off and paying on it and pay it off. And so I want to get out of the burden of things in this life that burden us down. I heard a statistic, and I suppose it's true, 90% of Americans are three paychecks away from being homeless. 90% of Americans are three paychecks away from being homeless. Meaning if you don't have a job and you look at your bank account and you owe three notes, if you don't have a job, you're homeless. Somebody else can possess your house. That's a shocking statistic, but that's what I heard, and from my dealings with people, it's probably very much true. So unfortunately, in good old America right here, most of the time when we create debt, It's not from catastrophe, it's from overspending most of the time. And I'm not trying to, again, I'm just, you know, take it if it fits you. If it doesn't, it's okay. But we rob ourselves of peace, we rob ourselves of joy, our hopes are deferred because we become debtors. The Bible says to owe no man. You know why you don't want to owe any man? They're your master. And, you know, people, I never worry about people not paying me back because they never want to see you. You know, they don't pay you back. They don't want to see you. You don't have to worry about it. They'll find you at next aisle in Walmart or whatever. You know, I just tell them, keep it. It's okay. And so I want to talk to you about decisions in living for God that I promise you will pay off. It's the payoff. Amen. And so too many times we're paying on our relationship with God, and but we're not good stewards of what God gives us. Right? That many times in this life you're not good stewards of what's handed to you in a paycheck. And that's why we end up in the shape we end up in. But when you read the parable about the talents, okay, the three talents, it was not about accountability as many times it's been preached. They said they always account. One of them said, Lord, I've gotten five and I've got five more. Then I had two and I got two more. And the other one said, well, I got one and I still got that same one. But it was more than accountability, because all of them were going to be accountable. But what he was looking for was stewardship, which is responsibility. You're responsible for it. So the one said, I got five more. He said, oh, enter into the joy of the Lord. And I got two more. I will enter in the joy of the Lord. Well, what about you? If he had said, I tried, or I got one more, I gave it all I had, but it didn't work out, then I believe the Lord would have understood. But he said, I hid it. I was afraid. You know, I know you're an austere man. You reap where you sow not. And I was afraid of you. So I just hid it. And here it is, just as good a shape as you. He said, you wicked and slothful servant. He was not responsible with what the master gave him. The master gives you things to be responsible for him, so that at his coming he'd have mine with usury, right? And so it's more than accountability, my brothers and sisters. We will preach, we're all going to be accountable. That's right, everybody. The dead in the sea is going to be accountable. Everybody in the grave is going to be accountable. But it's going to be about responsibility. What did you do with what you had? For where much is given, much is required. Where little is given, little is required. It's about responsibility. And so we find in our text here, these two examples, these two women, they're very different in many ways, and the same in a couple of ways. But the first woman is a widow, and the other woman is married, right? The first woman, her husband was one of the sons of the prophet. He's dead. And now the other woman, she's married. And the first one is deep in debt. I want you to grab this. She's deep in debt. So much so that she's, can you imagine selling your two girls? You'd cry out to the prophet too. You'd be crying to me. He'd say, Brother Baggett, pray, do something, help me. You know what? And he said, what can I do? You know, you let it get, you know what he's saying? You let it get this far. What can I do? And so the other woman is a great woman. She's just the opposite. Great, and that wasn't a testimony of size. It was a testimony of wealth. She lived on the wall, okay? She had stuff. She will add a room on. She was a great woman. So she's just the opposite of the other one. So we find that the first woman, because of her distress that she was in, she cried unto Elisha. She was distraught, so she cried. You ever been there? Just distraught. You cried unto him. But the other woman, who was doing so much better in life, she constrained him. One cries out to him, the other one constrains him. One says, what can you do to help me? Help me, help me. And the other one's saying, I wonder what I can do to help him. Totally opposite. I wonder, that's a man of God there. I wonder what I can do to help in the church or help the kingdom of God. So in the first one's distress, he always looks, when she said, I need some help. They're coming to get my sons and I don't have anything. I don't have anything to pay them. He said, what do you have? Now I know this. To every man was given a measure of faith. The ability to believe against all odds. That some way, somehow things will work out. She said, all I have left in this house is nothing but, save, she said, a pot of oil. And this woman perceived that Elisha had her answer, or she wouldn't have cried out to him. And she cries out for help because she's in such dire needs. And he said, what do you have in the house? She said, I just have this pot of oil. So I want to pick this up at 2 Kings 4 and 3. And he said to her, okay, it's not going to be all me. It's not going to be all me.
See, we're waiting, checks in the mail, God's going to do this, God's going to do that. And let me tell you something, when you get in a dire strait, you need to follow instructions. He said to her, go, borrow. Now that right there don't sound right. Brother Lamar, she's deep in debt already. This doesn't sound right. And a lot of times when a man of God tells you something, or a spiritual person, let me just put it that way, it don't sound right, but it is right. See, if it sounds right, we're willing to do it. But when it don't sound right, we're not willing to do it. But you get desperate enough, you'll do it. And sometimes God's waiting for you to get desperate enough to do something that looks stupid. I remember in the old days, used to be 10 o'clock, man, pray through. Well, walk around the building 7 times on one leg. You remember that? And we'd do all that. And you know what? Somehow about 12 o'clock, a lot of them come through. You know, 2 o'clock in the morning, they come through. We'd ready to pray them through so we'd go home. But you'll do things when you get desperate enough. I've heard people come down there, I'm not leaving till I get it. He said, go and borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. So you know what? She's not going to only owe these creditors, she's going to owe her neighbors. Just owe your neighbor something and see. Even empty vessels, and he's telling her, borrow not a few. Now let me tell you, there is a famine going on, so there's a lot of empty vessels. Every house you knock on was going to say, do you have any empty vessels? How many do you want? All of them you got. Well, here, take them. They're not doing me any good. So she didn't have any trouble fulfilling the order of empty vessels. But he instructs her, go beyond that, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all these vessels. Now, that's a hint right there. You're going to pour out into all these vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So pour until it has reached its capacity. Too many times we say, that's enough. I believe that's enough. I can get by on this, you know. And we think that we've gotten enough to sustain us. When all we're, see, the man of God is looking beyond the famine. All we're looking for, if I just got the right job, I could pay these debts off. If I could just, and we're just wanting to get out of the pinch we're in. The man of God is looking beyond that. He's looking at retirement. That's why he told her, don't borrow a few, borrow a lot of vessels, and keep pouring as long as it will pour. So she goes out and she borrows these vessels. This decision, now listen close. This decision to obey what he said, even though it didn't make sense, will pay off. It will pay off. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And she poured out. Give me another one. She poured and she poured. I can just, can you just see the emptiness? And it's beginning, I imagine they're beginning to smile a little bit. Feel like life is changing, you know, and things are getting better. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me another one, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, Mom, there is not a vessel more. We have filled up every vessel we brought in here. And she looked, and the oil that she was pouring out of stayed. God can take what little bit you got and add so much to it, and you'll get to keep what you started with. Amen. Little is much, I've read the scripture, if God is in it. Right? Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, now, see, he did not tell her how this is going to end. He just said, go do this. Let's see if you're first obedient, and then I'll tell you what to do with it. So that she goes back and tells him that they're all full. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt. You know, you get pretty high price for oil in those days because there wasn't any. I'd tell my neighbor, if you want your vessel back, you have to buy the content. Right? And it was easy to sell this oil because it was in such need in that day. And pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. My God, this decision to obey him paid dividends longer than just paying the debt off. and going and getting a part-time job, it paid it. It was retirement. Through the whole famine, simply by making a decision that pays off. See, our problem is we're so narrow-minded and narrow-sighted or close-sighted. We can't see it, the end of it, we don't want to do it. Faith does not work that way. The just shall walk by faith and not by sight. So if you can see the end result of it, it may not be God at all. Because you know, a lot of things you see the end result of, it doesn't work out. But let me tell you something. Every time that anything miraculous in my life has happened, such as me even being here, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know. I never dreamed I'd be here. Never dreamed. So when God speaks to you, though, you have to act and be obedient. And there was a time in my life, I've been both of these women in one way or another. I've cried out to him. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I need you. And then there's a time I've constrained him. Don't leave, Lord. Stay right here. And that's where we're going to come to in just a minute. Because what happens is this woman, is her needs are taken care of. But then he goes right from this one, he goes right to this Shunammite woman, which is a totally different story, but has a similar ending. As he passes through this area continually, this woman perceives that he's a man of God, just like the other woman perceived he was a man of God. She perceived that Elijah was a man of God, and rather than crying to him, she constrains him that he might stay a little longer. She just feels good when he's around. She feels like this man is profitable to me to have him around us. Amen. So while the first woman is waiting to see what the man of God can do for her, the second woman is waiting to see what she can do for the man of God. So she and her husband together. Now, I went back and added this because I'd never really seen this in the scripture. She and her husband together. And the best decision a married couple will ever make is when they make it together. She and her husband together make this decision. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us, you and I, make a little chamber. Because if he had said, no, honey, I don't want to do that, then you got division. But when you make a decision and God's in it, when I came here, it's been close to 15 years now. Believe it or not, 15 years. Remember I had hair back then and I was... No, I didn't. But what Brother Hennigan told me at that time, he said, now, let me just tell you something. Because y'all, I'm not sure I really want to come here. I'll be honest with y'all. I was like, oh, they don't need me. He said, if you want to go, or if you feel like the Lord wants you to go there, he said, the first thing I want you to go ask your wife. Talk to your wife. And if she doesn't agree, don't go. Don't go. And I had two young kids, young teenager. He said, then talk to your kids. And if they don't want to go, you don't go. You know, a lot of teenage kids don't want to change churches. That's all there is to it. Because we had to leave where we were at to come here. And so I went and talked to my two kids. And I said, yeah, daddy, we want to go. You know, like, oh, mercy, now I'm in. I've got to do it now. But we were together. And we came here with the few that was here. But I had my family with me. And that felt so good, even though things were kind of cold and dim at that time. It felt so good that we had made a decision together to do this. You know what I'm talking about? And so that's the way it was here. Let us make a little chamber on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. I mean, she's fully furnishing this thing with the state-of-the-art stuff. And it shall be when he cometh to us, whenever that is, that he shall turn in thither. My, are you making a place for God? Amen. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Yes. This is so nice that this lady, look at that beautiful candlestick over there, that chair she's got, this bed. You know, let me tell you something. We think you got to do some big thing for the church, for God to appreciate it. She still lived in a better place than he did. You hear what I said? She still lived in a better. She didn't give up. Here, you take our place. We're going to go live in this little shack over here. That's not the way the Lord wants it. But he wants you to give with cheerfully unto him. That's all he asks, cheerfully. They were happy together to do this. And there he is just laying down one day, chilling out. And he got to thinking, she's been so good to me. I wonder, what can I do for her? And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. I mean, it's a candlestick, a chair, and a table, and a little chamber. What is to be done for thee? Oh, would you want me to speak to the king? Because, you know, this lady's a great woman. The king would, you know, want me to say something to the king? Or to the captain of the host? And she answered, no, I dwell among my own people. I'm not like that. Even though I may have stuff, I'm not one of them. So rather than crying unto the man of God, asking for help, the man of God is seeing, what can I do? Right. We all come to God crying help. Right? We all come to God, help me. But at some point in your journey, amen, you need to help him. You need to help him. And you know what? When you help him, he's going to help you back. More, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither entered into the heart of the man the things that God hath prepared for them that truly love him. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no children, and her husband is old, past the time of life. Well, it's just too bad. And he said, call her. Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door, and he said, you see what happens when you make the right decision? This is going to pay off for her, because she put a little candlestick, a chair, and a table, and a bed for him. She decided to do that on her own. About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, I don't believe it. My Lord, no. Thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. But the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. As they come tonight, it's another decision that paid off. Let me tell you something. Every decision I've ever made in my walk with Christ that concerned the kingdom of God has always, always paid off. Always. And living for God, people think that when you live for God, you're going to miss this in the world. You're going to miss. Those things don't pay off. But in living for God, I can tell you that he will do exceedingly abundantly above. That's what both of these got. Exceedingly abundantly above all they could ask or even think. Do I have any witnesses out there that say the Lord has done that for me? Amen. I'm telling you, if you live for God, you know what I'm talking about. So the first lady got to keep her heart's desire, right? The two children she had. The second lady got her heart's desire, a baby. Let me tell you this before I close. I added this as an addendum. You're going to be tried in one of three ways. There's three ways you're tried. Number one, you personally can be tried with temptation. James said this, 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. No man can say that he's tempted, that he is tempted of God. God cannot be tempted. He doth tempt any man with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it will bring forth death. So we can be tried as a person of your own lust. It has nothing to do with your faith in God, nothing to do with your works, nothing to do with that. It's just a trial that you go through. In the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he said was, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I've told you this before, but if it's over a week, y'all probably forgot it, so I'll say it again. One time I had some ramps at my office that would load a four-wheeler. And I leaned them up against the fence there, but they're behind the gate. And it's a pretty busy road there. And I said, well, nobody will steal them because they got to get over the gate. They can't get behind there unless they break in, you know. And I forgot about them, drove off. I turned around and come back because it hit me. Lead me not into temptation. So if I remove it, somebody won't be tempted to steal it, right? So I removed the temptation and put it in another place so they wouldn't be tempted. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. The second way you can be tried is your faith. Peter said this, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So your faith can be tried, right? Something that you believe in and it just, something happens, you're like, God, I was trusting you for this. I was believing you for this. Now I just don't know. John the Baptist was a great example. He had faith in Christ, and that wasn't long. He said, is that he or should we look for another? Your faith goes on trial, but he says it's precious. It's the trying of your faith that you may come forth as pure gold. And then the third way is your works can be tried. You can be tried, your faith can be tried, and then your works. Corinthians says this, every man's works shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works to see what sort it is. And it gives us six different characteristics. And I won't get into that tonight. Amen. Trials tonight are no more than a test of your decision making. Trials are nothing more than a test of your decision making. When you look at Job, he had all of them. Behold, I go forth. He's not there. Backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, I can't behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand. I can't see him. But, thank God, he knoweth the way that I take. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't always know what God's doing, but he knows what I'm doing. He knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, he tried my faith, he tried my works, I shall come forth. I've made up my mind, from dust I came, to dust I shall return. I brought nothing into this world. It is certain I shall bring nothing out of this world. Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. I might as well bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that's within me. Amen. Because I made up my mind a long time ago to serve the Lord. If nobody else did, I was still going to serve the Lord. Amen. And I feel like you feel the same way. Let me finish this. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold, or as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way I have kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I've made a decision, Brother Lamar. I'm going to live for the Lord. Amen. Till the day I die, and then I'll just go to live with him there. Amen. Would you stand with me? I feel like you've made the same decision. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, church. I've been giving you all a chapter in prayer. And we're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 1 for next week. Let's sing a little song before we go. Praise the Lord.